you ever think about the reality that Jesus had siblings? I mean, Jesus had siblings. Now, we don't know exactly how many he had, but as you read through scripture, you pick up on the reality that he had more than one. There was multiples. There was brothers that we hear about. Jesus had siblings. Now, can you think about what it would have been like growing up in the home with a perfect child as your older brother? Yikes. Because I know what goes through my mind when I think about, man, if I had the perfect child, like as an older sibling, it would have, you know, mom would have always been saying, can't you be just a little bit more like Jesus? You know, man, he's always cleaning his room. He's always being obedient, sacrificing to let other people go first. I mean, you know, it's like, can't you be just a little bit more like your big brother? Well, here's the reality. I think Jesus was the perfect child, but not in like a way where, you know, the big brother that's kind of like always looking down at you and, you know, rubbing your nose in it and making you feel bad that you're not the perfect child. Because if Jesus was growing up around brothers and sisters, which he was, the reality is that he was also kind. He was also loving. He was also gentle and patient. And in his perfection, was very, very humble about it. In fact, I think that Jesus is the kind of big brother that we all wished that we had. A role model, someone that we would look up to and say, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And you know what Jesus said? When he entered his years of public ministry, he said this, that anyone who does the will of my Father is my brother or sister. I believe that God sent Jesus to be that, maybe that big brother that we never had. That we would have a role model in our lives that we would look up to and say, as I grow in God, guess what, Lord? I want to be just like your son. I want to be just like Jesus. And it's the story of discipleship. It's the story of going from when we first learn that there is a God who loves us, who did send his son, that we then now have this opportunity through our lifetimes to grow to be more and more like him. That is what discipleship is all about. That's what Jesus invited people right around him, the 12 most, the closest disciples, to walk with him so that they would learn to live, to think, to be just like Jesus. And that's our invitation, and to walk alongside of him and to walk in his steps and to become just like him. And we read that all through scripture. Last week, we began this series about being just like Jesus, and we're looking at a key passage that is informing us and then going from there. And the passage that we began looking at last week, we're going to look at it again this week and next week, is from Ephesians chapter 4, and it's verses 11 through 15. And it may be the clearest description of what God has, not just for us as a church, but as individual people as well. If you were here last week, this is a little bit of review, but if you weren't here last week, you're going to want to really pay attention to these incredible words of instruction about becoming like Jesus. Paul was writing and he said this, he said, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to do this. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, fully formed in the likeness of Christ. Going on in verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Amen? This is the clear call of God for all of his kids, that we would grow up, mature, becoming fully formed in his likeness, that we would be more and more just like Jesus. Go to that next slide. We looked at these words again last week. If you didn't get that message, it's up on our podcast. You can find those on our church website. I'd encourage you to go back if you didn't hear that first message. But these words are taken right from what we just read. And these are kind of those specific instructions about becoming like Christ. That we would mature in him. And I love this phrase, fully formed in the likeness of Christ. That means in every area of my life. My thinking. My relating with others. In my family and in my church and in my neighborhood and world. In my sexuality. That it would be fully formed to look like Jesus' form of sexuality. The way I handle my finances, my integrity that I have in the workplace and in my neighborhood. In every area that I would look more and more like Jesus as I grow and I mature in him. Growing in every way. More and more like him. Say more and more. Those are the words of discipleship, that I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not yet who I'm going to be, because I'm on a journey of growing more and more like Jesus. It's the realization that there ain't nobody in this room who's attained all that yet. There's nobody here. We look around this room and we recognize we are people on a journey. It's a journey of discipleship. It's a journey of growing more and more like Jesus. It's the process of discipleship. And at Santa Maria Foursquare, we've chosen a particular model that we use when we're talking about discipleship. And go ahead and put it up on the screen there. It's this little cycle. It's these three phases that I believe need to be evident in every person that says, man, I'm a disciple. I'm someone who's growing to be more like Jesus. These three things should be evident, all three of them, at all times in the life of a person who's growing to be more and more like Jesus. And we use these three words: discover, develop, and deploy. So what we're doing over these 3 weeks is we're talking about each one of those, kind of drilling down a little bit specifically so that we can gain an understanding not only about how these three work individually and separately, but by next week, we're going to see how they all work in synergy together to help us grow into the full measure of Christ. Last week, we talked about discovery. And in most of our situations, in most instances, that's where this discipleship journey begins. Because we talked about last week, faith comes by hearing. We got to hear something so that we can know something. Because we can't grow in what we do not know. So, you know, for example, we discover that God wants us to love our neighbor. Oh, wow, that's hard, Lord, but okay, I'm discovering that. I'm the lights are coming on. I'm beginning to understand, right, what it means to really love my neighbor even as I love myself. Wow, that's huge, Lord. Man, that's big. Right? Do you remember the first time you began to discover about love, that God calls us to love people, even loving our enemies? Oh, wow, that's huge. Well, we cannot grow in that area until we know what God said about it. Wow, really? God said to love our neighbors and even the ones that hate us, even the ones who are our enemies? Yeah, he did. Wow, I need to make a discovery in that in order that I can grow in that. And it's the same way in all of life. I mean, my son is a football coach, right? So he is on like NFL watch right now. I mean, because he loves all kinds of football. He coaches high school football. He was the coach of the year in his little district, took his team undefeated, right? He loves football, and he loves what it does developmentally within the lives of student athletes. He just loves it. He experienced it as a kid growing up, and now he has the opportunity to pour into emerging generations of young athletes. But you know what? When a new athlete comes in, you know, they're this young kid, maybe they're a seventh grader. Before he can help them grow as a player, they have to know something about football. They got to know a little bit. Now, as a seventh grader, you ain't going to know everything there is to know about the game of football because it's complex. You know, I mean, by the time you get to, like, the big leagues, NFL, do you know that NFL, just their rule book is over 70 pages of kind of fine print? There's a lot of rules, man. There's a lot of regulations. There's a lot of things that you've got to know. And that's before you even get to the plays. Every NFL team has hundreds of plays in their playbook. And they estimate that every single week that they play, they're like focusing on 75 to 100 different plays that they're planning on integrating on that particular game. There's a lot to know about football. Now, that seventh grader coming in with wide eyes, I just want to go and hit somebody, right? They don't need to know everything about football in order to start developing as a player. But you got to know something. You have to have discovered something. There's an offense. And there's a defense. And the goal of this game is winning, but like how we go about trying to win, oh, wow, there's different ways that we could do that. There's different kinds of plays that we could run. Oh, and there's different position players on this team. I wonder what I'm going to be on this team, right? I mean, so you have to know before you can grow. And that's like in every area of our lives. Well, in discipleship, it's the same way. We need to start to continually make fresh discoveries about who God is, what he's said and done, and who I am in his story. I need to continue to press in and discover those things so that I can then begin to grow in them. Now, the growth level of discipleship is what we're talking about today. And we simply call that development. Developing as a disciple is more than just learning more stuff. Now, that's discovery. We need to discover, but we discover so that then we can grow in that, to develop in that. It has to do with maturing so that we can stand strong as God's people no matter how crazy life gets. Now, unfortunately, you know, this is just the reality, is that some people make really good discoveries, but then they don't develop in those things. Like, they learn a lot. You know, they come on Sundays, and they're like, man, teach me, you know, oh, pastor person. You know, they're learning. In fact, man, if there's a seminar or a class, they're like, sign me up. A new book comes out, man, they're on it. Man, they're watching Christian TV. They've got three or four channels going. They're like downloading. They're sending me, man, this podcast was so awesome. That's great. We need to continually make new, fresh discoveries. But if we stop there, we are never going to be that fully formed disciple that looks like Jesus. We have to mature. We have to grow. We have to take this into real life and see how it's going to work out in our home, in our relationships, and with our neighbors, and at work, and in our politics, and all around the world. It's like, Lord, I want to grow in you. And this has to do with development. The Apostle Paul was talking about this very thing to a church, and he wrote a letter. It's in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, I believe that the Apostle Paul was talking about this very thing of development. Because he was writing to the church and says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will do what? Grow strong in the truth you were taught." I want you to notice a couple of things that he says in there. They're really talking about kind of the difference of discovery and then development, right? First he says, "And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, just as like you did that, so just like you made that discovery that Jesus is God's son, that he lived a perfect life, and yet he went and sacrificed himself. Jesus was not murdered, okay? Jesus willingly sacrificed himself for you and for me. And when we discover that, wow, for me, he did that so that I could have this relationship with God. He did that so that I could be forgiven of all the junk of my life, all that sin, all those things, all that brokenness. Man, he did that. Yes, I will serve him for my life. I will put my trust in him. I receive the gift of salvation and forgiveness. And now I'm going to serve him as my Lord. That is a huge discovery. But Paul says, just as you made that discovery and decided to put your trust in him, you must continue. Oh, so it's not just about saying yes to Jesus in that one moment where I put my trust in him and say, God, I want to serve you as my Lord. No, it's not just about that one moment. It is about continuing for a lifetime pursuit of continuing to follow him, right? Then he says, let your roots grow down into him. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of development. Because if we think about maybe discovery is like that seed, right? That comes into the soil of our life and springs to life. Wow, I didn't know that before. I had never discovered that before. But all of a sudden, there's like this life that happens, right? This little seed springs to life. And that's like making a discovery. Like, wow, now I understand something. Okay? But development is like that little seed now growing to the point where it's putting down roots. Putting down roots deep down. Because guess what? Storms are coming. And if there's no root, that storm is going to come and, man, people just get toppled over. They get just knocked around by life. And many abandon their faith. Many depart even from those beautiful discoveries that they had begun making because there was no root there. So let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. That's how we become able to look more and more just like Jesus. Now, here's the hard truth. Go ahead and put that next screen up there. Yikes. Development requires difficulty. How do we grow? We press through things that are challenging. We press through hard stuff. In fact, I think there's a statement that you've probably heard before. It goes like this: no pain, no gain. Now, we think of that when it comes to our physical bodies, right? Like, man, if we want to build muscle, if we want to take charge of these bodies of ours, oh, man, we got to say no to certain things. That's kind of painful. And we got to press in. We got to press hard, right, to build ourselves up. There's pain involved in growth. If growing strong were easy, and I could do it sitting on my couch, eating big bowls of ice cream, believe me, I would do it. That's not where growth happens. That's not where development happens. If discovery, we could say, happens in a classroom, development happens in the gym. Come on, somebody. You get it? I mean, it's like going into the gym. That's where I grow. It's where I get my little tail off of the couch, put away the ice cream, and go get on the treadmill. That's where growth will begin to happen in my physical body. And really, when we think about our spiritual life, it's very, very similar. Development requires difficulty. Challenges that will come. Now, I want to say this, though, before we go any further. This is not God inflicting pain upon his children. I mean, the last thing that our good, loving, heavenly Father wants to do would be to inflict pain on anyone. I mean, Scripture really reminds us clearly, he's not even willing, right, that anyone would perish, even people who are evil and kind of lived lives deserving death and pain. But man, for his kids, he is not inflicting pain. That God will allow us to go through normal life things. The same things that our neighbors are going through, the same things that people in the rest of the world are going through, because he knows that it is through those things that comes a testing of our faith. And that the discoveries that we made, unless they're tested, will never be proven to be strong or genuine, where we sense that, man, I am growing to look like Jesus. So Jesus will allow difficulties in our lives. Now, some of those difficulties will come just through the course of life, right? A diagnosis of some sickness or disease, or, you know, even the death of a loved one. I mean, difficulties are just going to pop out at us. They will. We've all lived enough life to recognize that we don't have to go searching for difficulties. They will just come into our lives. Things we have to process. But there's also a different kind of difficulty, and those are ones that we sign up for. Those are ones that actually say, I'm going to put myself in a position, and this is going to be a little bit challenging. Like signing up to serve with Safari Kids, right? Can I just tell you? I mean, that is a break from your rhythm. There's some work required. There's like, man, I don't know if I like kids all that much. This may be a little bit difficult. Guess how we grow, guys? We put ourselves in situations where it may be a little bit challenging. Or, man, there's that person at work that every time they come by my desk, they've got another story, another problem, you know, and there's blah, throwing up all over me. It's like, I don't know if I can handle them, Lord. And God says, you know what? Well, maybe you should take them to lunch. No! That would be the worst idea ever, right? I don't want to do that. Man, I can barely stand them in small doses. And now, Lord, it's like, what? I'm going to go spend an hour with that person? Putting myself in a potentially difficult scenario because I'm pressing into what the Lord may have for me. It may be having that difficult conversation with your child because you're seeing some patterns in their life develop that maybe are not fruitful or not helpful. And it's like, but Lord, I want my kids to like me. This is hard. This is difficult. But as we step into things that are difficult, I believe that we have the opportunity to grow and to develop. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised. Hello? Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Why me, Lord? Because you're human. Because my salvation in your life and even my redemption working through you does not somehow absolve you from just going through the normal stuff of life. And we all face difficulty. We all face trials. We all face stuff. So don't be surprised. Instead, be very glad. What? Why? For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. No pain, no gain. We don't go through the difficulties and those normal, just fiery trials of life. Guess what? There's no glory on the other side. We are literally, as we go through the difficulties of life, we, it says, are becoming partners with Christ. Well, guess what? I become like those who I am partnered with. We become like those we spend time with. When I partner myself with Jesus, Jesus, you walked through more than I'll ever walk through. But God, as I walk through this season of difficulty, Lord, I am buddied up with you. Show me how to do this right. Show me how to be strong, even when life is crazy hard. Because Jesus, I want to grow to be just like you. Pete Scazzaro is a name that I know many of you have become familiar with because he's the pastor and author who developed the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Course. We just call it EHS. And Pete is awesome at talking about these things. In fact, EHS is one of those classes that's going to be offered beginning February 12th during Wednesday sessions. And if you haven't been through EHS, we tell everyone in our church family, and start there. It is a really beautiful way to just continue to make discoveries and really move through some developmental areas that help us grow as Jesus' disciples. And he talks a lot about how God actually uses difficulties in our lives. He talks a lot about hitting the wall, where just stuff doesn't even make sense, and it's like, where are you, God? Right? And this is what he says. Go ahead and put Pete's quote up there. Pete Scazzaro says this. He says, this is the ordinary way we grow in Christ. Right? We just read, this shouldn't be strange to y'all. Don't consider this strange when you're facing, right, fiery trials. I love the way Pete says it. This is the ordinary way we grow in Christ. A failure to understand this is one of the major reasons many start out well in their journeys but do not finish. And again, church, we just need to be mature in our understanding that we are going to face difficulties. We need to Can I just say this? I mean, man, wrap your big brains around this. Make a discovery. We need a theology of suffering as God's people. We do. We need to understand that some of what I go through in life is going to be really hard. It's going to be really difficult. But our theology is how we understand God in whatever season or facet or issue that we're facing. We need a theology of suffering. We need to understand where God is in the midst of my difficulties. So don't be surprised. This is normal. This is the ordinary way that God grows us to look like his son, is through pressing through, growing through challenges, difficulties. Go ahead and put that next slide up. This is Pastor Tim's words, not Pete's. Whenever my faith collides with real life, I have the opportunity to develop, to become more like Jesus. It's that point where my faith, what I've said yes to, what I've put my trust in, what I'm leaning into with a holy confidence, saying, God, I do believe who you say you are, Lord, and I'm discovering who I am in you. But whenever that collides with real life, and if we're honest, that happens daily, right? At home, at work, in my thought life, things that are calling forth to me that would be addictive things in my story, those are collision points. But those collision points between my faith and real life, those don't have to be a disaster. I do not have to fail. In fact, those are the very places, whenever my faith collides with real life, that I have the opportunity to develop, to become more like Jesus. I want to finish by just talking about some things that I believe are things that actually do develop in our hearts as we grow in him through these developmental journeys of pressing through difficulties. Number one, as we're developing, I believe that we're putting roots down into trust. That we will learn to trust Jesus at a whole different level by pressing through difficult things. Because it's easy to trust in Jesus when life is easy. But when difficulties come, it's when our faith becomes tested and proven. Again, Peter wrote this, and it's in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. And he's just been talking in the beginning verses about how we've been washed clean, how we've been born again in Christ. And then he says this, "So, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine." See, it's that proving ground of our faith. Difficulties become that proving ground that shows that my faith is a genuine faith as I press through in him. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. When your faith remains strong, it's going to result in glory. No pain, no gain. Then in verse 8 and 9, he says this, "You love him," speaking of Jesus, "you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." I believe that, and that's those were continuous verses talking about the trials that we're going to go through. Then he immediately turns to the issue of trust. And I love the, you know, just the honesty there that we don't see Jesus. And oftentimes it's in those times of difficulty that we really are like, "God, I'm not seeing you here. God, where are you? God, I'm facing this issue and I don't see you showing up." And I wonder what it was like for the disciples on the day of the crucifixion, who watched the hope of their lives be nailed to a cross, blood streaming out of his body, life streaming out of his body, and then he hung his head and he died. God, where are you? I thought you said you were going to always be here, and I don't understand all this. It's the fiery trial of difficulty that caused something different to be formed within them when all of a sudden, 3 days later, they understood. God was saying, you can trust me even when you don't see me. And they caught it because the rest of their lives were transformed in more and more into the likeness of Jesus. So we're developing a trust for him at a very different level when we go through difficulty. Second thing that happens that I believe that God is working on us in is our endurance. We're putting down the roots of endurance. Friends, I'm looking around this room, and I believe that if Jesus doesn't come back, that probably most of us all are going to have decades more of living for him and growing in him. Decades. And some of you are like, dude, I'm only 20 years old. It better be decades, right? This is not a sprint that we're on. This is a marathon. You got a lot of life ahead of you. Maddie? You got lots of years ahead of you. This is an endurance race. This is a marathon. Maddie, I want to see you in 10 years, maybe leading this church. 20 years from now, maybe planting another church. I don't know. I'm just saying. But God's got something for you in your story. And it's not just for tomorrow. It's for decades from now. But listen, and then here's the hard thing. But if Maddie never goes through difficulties, having to like prove and test your faith and go through the hard stuff of life, somewhere along the line, you could give up. Don't give up. Amen. Grow strong. Amen. Be like Jesus. Yeah. Right? And we're going to surround you and help you during difficult times. But listen, church, we do not build endurance sitting on the couch. It's as we press through difficult times. James put it this way. Listen, I'm giving you some scripture today, and I had to edit out a whole bunch because there's a whole lot on going through hard things. But James 1, 2 through 4, James said it this way. He said, my brothers and sisters, think of the various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. After all, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let this endurance complete its work so that you may be fully mature, complete, lacking in nothing, looking just like Jesus, fully formed in his likeness. So God's not only helping us build a new level of trust, but an endurance that's going to last a lifetime. And here's the last one. Character. Staying true to Jesus when we face difficulties and temptations. So I believe this about life, that when we get squeezed by difficulties, whatever's inside will come out. Now, sometimes it can just be a little gentle squeeze. Boop. Right? It's a little difficulty. Oh, whatever. You know, it's like the line was too long at Starbucks. I don't know. My character's going to show. It might come out on a Yelp review. My character's going to show if it's just a little gentle squeeze. Whatever's inside me is going to come out. But then there's the big squeeze. There's the big stuff. You know, the cancer diagnosis, the death of a loved one, being betrayed by somebody you trusted, whatever. I mean, the big honking difficulties of life. Whether we're squeezed very gently or whether we're squeezed in the hardest ways by difficulties, whatever's inside of us is going to come out. And it gives us an opportunity to look at our character. It gives us an opportunity to say, am I like Jesus in these situations? And that's my character. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, Romans 5, 3 through 4. And he said this, we can rejoice too. Isn't it interesting that all these guys are talking about being happy and rejoicing and take this opportunity, be glad, throw a party, facing difficulties, you all. Come on over, we're having cake. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, which we've already talked about. But then he goes on, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So where's Jesus in all of this? Is he absent? No, he's not. Is he hiding himself on purpose to make this really intense? Well, I think that there are times that he takes a step back to let us feel a little bit more of the weight of that difficulty so that we learn what we need to learn. And then, man, he just beautifully embraces us. But I take heart in these words. And would you just close your eyes with me as we just close the service and just listen to these words about Jesus. They're found in Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. The author of Hebrews is reflecting and says this, says, for Jesus is not some high priest who has no sympathy for our weaknesses and flaws. He has already been tested in every way. In every way that we are tested, it says he was tested. In every way. He went through these difficulties. He bore them upon himself. It says he has already been tested in every way that we are tested, but he emerged victorious, without sin, without failing God. So let us step boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and grace to help us when we need it most.